estate services, Lavazzi and Boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 478. I'm Adam, and I'm not going to bother doing a quote, or maybe I should go, hello and welcome to the Noel's house party, or something like that. And here is Robert Haynes.
Oh, don't you start. There's enough oddballs around here as it is.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Oh, good luck, my dears.
That sounds like Mary, doesn't it? This... Will you stop coughing in my ear hole? This, what's the word for it? Oh, yes, the week. This week we're going to be...
Oh, wait, I got another one. Madam, nice. What year is this?
No, you got to lisp.
Yes. Yeah, we're I agree.
Attempting to discuss dimensions in time. Right, are we ready?
Yes.
Judging by the amount of people who showed up for this this particular episode, it wasn't a popular venture to do. But hey ho, that's the way it goes, isn't it?
We can see which
of us is dedicated to the cause, and which aren't.
Matthew's available.
I tried.
He's asleep.
He didn't answer.
Okay, episode. I did.
They're all avoiding this.
Stop talking over my. Right, I'm gonna get crossed now. You're lucky. Magic's
which
asleep in the other room.
Which version are we going to be talking about?
What?
What do you mean, what?
We're talking about dimensions in time. What do you think we're talking about?
Well, we could talk about the original version. We could talk about the version what someone re-edited as a special edition. We could talk about.
I'm not. Look, we're going to. I am currently looking at the version that was broadcast on Noel's house party, because that's probably the more accurate version. That's what I'm talking about. There was a one I watched on YouTube, which was a omnibus with different title sequences in, and then followed by some behind the scenes and outtakes and stuff. But the one we're going to talk about is the one that went out on Noel's house party, because John Pertwee was with Noel on the scenes that leave out to it. And I actually have the whole episode of Noel's house party
that
broadcast episode two. So can I talk about it?
Certainly.
What?
Certainly.
Good. Right. Terry Marr says, good evening, Adam, Robert and Kirby. For some reason, Terry, I don't think it is going to be a good evening for me. Right. Ian Kirk says, and I'm never, hang on, I'm never, ever sick at sea. Lillian Robbins says, hi. And Laurie Nick says, hello, everybody. And I need to pick my nose.
Hello.
There's something really itchy. Sorry. Excuse me. I'm just going to, for the viewers, hide it. That's better. Right then, so the episode begins after Noel's put his 3D glasses on with a little sort of weird...
Oh, we're skipping the whole business with John Pertwee?
What?
We're skipping it all until he puts his glasses on. We don't talk about how the Doctor... How Pertwee is actually in character as the Doctor, huh?
That's not part of Dimensions in Time. That's part of Noel's house party.
Is this even canon?
This shouldn't be that difficult. And I'm not surprised that it is being. What?
Is it even canon?
Do you know what? Yeah, it is, I suppose, but it's a bit silly canon. Anyway, the thing is, I just pressed the start button and got interrupted. So that is Kirby's quickest ever interruption.
Wow.
I didn't know you'd press the start button.
Well, I said let's get going. It starts with, and normally I start actually talking about the episode. Right. Anyway, so we have a very weird looking vortex thingy, which was rather reminiscent of when they used the time vortex from the titles in Sharda, and a TARDIS. Well, we know it's a TARDIS. It's the Rani's TARDIS, rather.
Master?
Interesting looking shape as well.
Master?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Do you know the name of the Rani's companion?
I know the actor's name.
Well,
I don't know what
it is. The character's name is Sirian,
right.
As in Sir Ian. It was supposed to be Sir Ian, not
Chesterton.
This actor.
Right, okay. Thank you for that. Yeah, so within the Rani's TARDIS are some waxwork heads that are just sort of flying around in
God,
the place.
God, those are so weird.
Creepy way. They do look like they're dead and they've been severed.
They're getting better. Mm.
And the Rani does a very funny little evil laugh. And then we have the fourth Doctor with his hat pulled so far down that you can't see his lovely curly hair. He's put a few pounds on as well.
He'd probably cut it off by this point.
Yeah.
I know, true, yeah. But this, I'm trying to explain. Jesus Christ. Anyway, so the first two Doctors are caught up in some sort of, they've been trapped by the Rani's.
Only time. Their heads, though.
Yeah, only their heads. But the fourth Doctor is sort of semi-trapped. So he's got his body and he's sort
just
of
like in Shada.
He looks actually like he's stuck in someone's bloodstream. He looks like
because the red thing's fighting by.
Thank you, Robert. So he's almost like putting a psychic call out to the other Doctors. And that's like when Kirby said about the my dears or something like that, isn't it?
Yes.
No? Okay, fine, I'll carry on.
Yes! Yes, it is!
So within... Yes.
Couldn't you hear me?
Sadly, what? Sadly, yes. What? Yeah, so within the Rani's roundels are some aliens that have been rather pointlessly
That's
trapped.
Very odd.
Cyberman, for instance. Neil James says, "Hi, gang. I watched all three versions. Then I watched part 5 of The Web Planet to cheer myself up." Right, so yeah, they're trapping these things. There's a Time Lord. The funny thing about the Time Lord that's trapped within the roundels is that he's sort of sat around the corner a little bit just for the camera angle, and it's so blatantly obvious he's like sat a little bit further around so as he could.
And he's the same actor that they have out on the set, the outdoor set as well.
Okay, maybe he escapes.
And I think he was named in that version that Matthew sent us.
Okay. Anyway, so they get the Rani gets her sights on the TARDIS, which materialises by the Cutty Sark, and out steps, thankfully and quite correctfully, the seventh Doctor with Ace. And I have to say, this is how many years later? 4 or 5 years later, is it? 4 years later. Sophie hasn't changed a bit. So quite a charming little scene as they assess the situation prior to... rather strangely.
You know, I have to admit, before I saw Dimensions in Time several years ago, I had no idea that Cutty Sark was anything other than a brand of whiskey.
What?
You should learn your history, Kirby. Somebody set fire to it a couple of years ago.
Really?
Yeah. It had to be rebuilt. So, right. So, there's a strange digital flash that sort of takes Ace to Albert Square and the sixth Doctor. And of course, the weird thing about this scene is that they both know each other, but the Doctor, I suppose, has got special powers that he may or may not know. But he didn't know River Song before he'd met her. Hang on, that makes sense. Anyway,
yes.
But in this weird sort of
Rani-verse,
in this weird Rani-verse, which is what I like to call it, because it's not really real, it's sort of Rani real, isn't it? There's a bit of overlapping of consciousnesses and situations. So the Doctor's personalities and memories are sort of migrating from one to the next. So there's it's almost like being stuck in it's like being in the Matrix in a way, isn't it? So that's the feel I got from it. It's almost like a Matrix episode.
I would know. I've never seen the Matrix.
Oh, goodness. You've seen Deadly Assassin, have you?
Yes.
Trial of Time Lord.
Okay, you're talking about that Matrix.
That Matrix, yes.
The Matrix was almost like at the beginning of the most recent episode of Doctor Who that we saw.
I thought you were talking about the famous movie Matrix.
Yeah, of course, that's got.
I think Matrix
4
is coming out next year.
With Doctor.
Yes, and I can see it for free because I've got HBO Max.
Anyway, we meet some of the familiar characters of EastEnders that were in the show in 1993.
I wish Mary had been able to join us, because she'd know all these characters. I have no idea.
I know a few of them.
The only time I've seen these characters is in this.
Anyway, the funniest thing for me personally is when the screen flashes and you have the Third Doctor with Mel wandering through the scenery, and of course Mel is now in EastEnders. Sorry, Bonnie Langford is now in EastEnders, and here she is walking the streets of Albert Square, and she doesn't actually look too different there than she does now. So that was quite interesting. And then we have, this is quite poignant, this is set in 2013, I believe.
What year is this?
Yeah, and it's the hairstyle. Well, Gillian Telfort's hairdo, and she's still in EastEnders in 2020. A completely different hairdo. And poor Wendy Richard was dead before 2013. Pauline Fowler's character died also.
2009, I think, prior she died. To
that, yeah. So that's quite sad in a way, that that several of the predictions didn't quite come to fruition.
Yeah. Adam, did you watch the production subtitles version?
No.
They made a funny comment that this was had to be filmed in split screen because they all shared the same wig.
That's actually the version I've got on my screen right now instead of the original broadcast.
Billy Kirkbride says hiya all.
The same cauliflower has been hanging around for 20
years. Yeah, Billy Kirkbride says hiya all. Neil James says, seeing as it was for children in need, I'm surprised they didn't go back and save Adric from Beryl Reed. Now that was a child in need. Very good. And then Billy Kirkbride says, I'm off back to sleep. See, well, that was a bit brief, Billy. It's because Kirby was getting too boring, wasn't it? Anyway, so there's an interesting conversation, just the fact that Gillian Telfort and Bonnie Langford are sharing the screen together in the market in Albert Square, which they have probably currently done on several occasions in current EastEnders. But she's obviously playing a different character. And there's another little flash, and then we meet, who's this? Oh, it's the younger Pauline Fowler with the younger, what's Gillian Telfort's character's name?
No, that's from the Kef, wasn't it?
I can't remember. Kathy Beale, is it? Kathy Beale. We're well ahead of that. We're up to the flash where they've gone. They've come from 2013. They've gone back to when Ian Beale was a little boy and he's got his hand in the vegetables. And they're having a little conversation. And then the Sixth Doctor, rather charmingly, strides past the Queen Vic, holding with his arm around Susan, who manages to get through the whole scene without requiring a wet cloth. So congratulations, she didn't fall over, twist her ankle or anything. So really well done, Carol Ann Ford. And I have to say also, she looks fab in these scenes. She looks really, really well and beautiful. And it just looks a bit weird that Colin Baker's got his arm around her like he's known her for years. He probably has, because he's probably done...
Oh, yeah, he's her grandfather.
And
did you see the bearded guy walk by and he looks at them and then shakes his head?
Yeah, hang on. Yeah, what's the significance of that?
I'm just wondering why is he? What is it about those two that he?
Well, what do you think of somebody walking past a bloke wearing a ridiculously coloured suit?
Okay, it's a coat. Well, I'm used to the coat. Yeah.
Well, he's not. Anyway, so that's quite a nice little scene between them two. And then there's another, they're back, I think, into the future now with beautiful Elizabeth Sladen wearing her Hand of Fear outfit. With a cap as a bit of an addition to that. And Letitia Dean, who plays Sharon Watts, she's currently in EastEnders now with very long, straight hair. And they've given her a ridiculously curly wig for the scene, which didn't work, but it probably did at the time. Anyway, Sarah Jane catches up with the Third Doctor, who's just meandering through the square, and has a conversation with him, which is very nice. And then the Rani has a whinge from within her TARDIS. The Fifth Doctor appears with, rather bizarrely, Nyssa and Perry, probably because Janet Fielding wasn't available for this particular scene. But
well, they're mixing and matching the companions anyway.
Yes, but I like that anyway, but it's quite charming. And I say, looking at Sarah Sutton, she does look like she does now. And this wasn't too long after she wasn't, or she left Doctor Who. It's only, what, about 10 years or something? Probably less than that, even. When I met her, she looks better now than she did then. But I will say Nicola Bryant still looks smoking hot in these scenes.
Totally.
And of course, Peter Davison is straight back into the Doctor. Fantastic in character. He says, when I say run, run. Because there are a load of Ogrons and led by a Cyberman.
It's not a load of Ogrons. It's one Ogron.
Look, come on, use your imagination. Jeez.
But shouldn't that Ogron be with the Daleks? I mean, it's a bit...
The Dorani's been messing with stuff.
Well, they filmed the Daleks, but they didn't include it.
The Rani...
The extended editions got that mixed in.
The Rani's been messing with stuff. Anyway, so all these baddies have been sort of scooped in. It's almost like Barusa's scooping of the Doctor's baddies in the Five Doctors. I said almost, it's not quite. And they all run and they bump into Pat Butcher, the late lamented Pat Butcher. And then we start seeing these baddies from the history of Doctor Who appearing in the windows of the Vic. Very awkwardly in some cases.
Including magic.
Magic's up there.
Well, not in the broadcast version. That's only in an extra.
Oh, is it? But yeah, but there's we do see some aliens, one of which I didn't recognize. Then Fifi in the square.
Well, which one? I can identify all of your aliens.
All right, the camera, the Doctor and Nyssa and Perry have run past, and the camera pans past the Queen Vic just after the Ogre and the Cyberman wander through shot. There's one window on the right that's got like a fishy type creature in it.
Tractator, what's that one?
Is it? Tractator? Oh, I didn't get that. The middle window.
Tetraps.
What's he got there? Oh, Tetraps, is it?
I didn't know. The Tetrap at the end, and that's Fifi from...
That's a Tetrap at the end. Oh, yeah.
What's like in the middle, though?
Yeah. I don't know. Kirby. That's what Kirby said. He can name them all.
I'm trying to find the scene. I'm sorry.
Oh, for God's sake. Anyway, Laurie Nick says, puts a full kettle of water for tea. Anyway, so I'm going to move on.
I'm getting dizzy because they keep going around in circles.
I know.
Well, yeah, if you watch it with the appropriate dimmed eye, then we see the dragon from Dragonfire appearing out of one window, which is quite cool.
Yeah, I thought that was what you were talking about. Oh, okay, there's a Tetraps, there's...
Yeah?
I'm not sure.
Shall we carry on then? So the Doctor, Nyssa and Perry run through the centre of the square. The gate is locked and all these countless Doctor Who aliens and Time Lords in some instances appear. And then the Rani steps out of the Queen Vic and sort of laughs melancholically.
Can I ask something, though? Because
well, you can ask. You might not get the answer you're looking for.
What's D84 doing there? Wasn't he deactivated, like destroyed his head?
I think because
what are any of them doing there?
This is the Rani-verse. It doesn't matter what happened to them in the series. They've been scooped out of time.
And the alien from Leisure Hive, she's not a baddie, so
maybe not. But there was shut up! It doesn't matter. For God's sake, this is the Raniverse. And thankfully, in the Raniverse also contains the Third Doctor, who obviously says, she has as a bit of a go at the Rani. While the Rani contends with, who is the Third Doctor's first companion? Liz Shaw sort of comes in.
Yeah, they had to film that scene over and over and over again.
Yeah, because of John Pertwee. We kept on cocking it up. He was a bit fussy about the way the camera was moving and cues and the word cue, wasn't he, instead of the word action. Liz Shaw sort of intervenes and has a bit of a battle with
Rani. Liz Shaw and this, she reminds me of her appearance in Five Doctors, actually.
Yeah, but it was a bit better than this than it was.
And then Big Ron saves the day instead of Mandy.
Yeah.
What?
I think he died pretty soon after this, actually.
Master, don't you remember there was you had
the
to
Sierra, Mandy was in the yeah Mandy came up in one in the first version of it, and then Big Ron comes in the second version. Is that what you're
right.
saying? When right, the well, after the cliffhanger,
and it's in the outtakes and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
And well, it's also they have Big Ron in the sub in the infotext version.
Okay. I'm not bothered. It's the Raniverse. Anyway, yeah, so then Captain Yates appears and wields his weapon. And
I did not recognize him when I first saw this.
You did it?
What?
No, I
Come
didn't.
On, Robert. That deserves a Robert. What?
What?
Yeah, thank you. Hang on.
Sorry.
So, like you say, the Rani runs for it. The third Doctor jumps in the back of Bessie, which is currently being driven by Captain Yates. And then there's a flash, and this. Thankfully, we finally get to see the Sixth Doctor and the Brigadier on screen together, which is my favourite bit of the whole thing.
Yes, mine too.
And it's lovely to see the Brig. And then we find ourselves in the Mitchells. Garage, and where Romana is for some reason hiding.
What the hell is she doing there? Seriously,
hiding.
She's crouching behind a car.
She's hiding.
And what was she doing there?
Hiding.
She was crouching behind a car.
Yeah, but it's nice to see her. She doesn't do much. She just gets pulled into the Vic. So Mike Reed, who is in one of the Doctor, the first Doctor stories with Wotan. What was that one called?
War Machines.
Pardon?
War Machines.
War Machines,
so is that
yeah.
the guy
he played a soldier
who,
in that.
Who touches his nose?
Yeah, Mike Reed.
Okay, was, how am I supposed to know that?
Because he does touch his nose. Because he was in War Game.
Okay, fine.
What did you say it was? War Machines.
War Machines.
Yeah, he played a soldier.
I watched part of that the other day. I was on... What is that service that is always showing old Doctor Who's?
Britbox.
No, not Britbox.
I know.
It's the random stuff. The random stuff.
Yeah.
I'll remember it here in a second.
I'd rather you didn't. Terry Miles says, oh, well, forget the tea. I'm having a rum and coke. That sounds like fun. And then we're on the Cutty Sark. I think it's a Cutty Sark. With lovely... ouch, Nick. Victoria. And played by Deborah Watling. She doesn't look too old in this. She looks obviously at the time
but
I thought she looked really old, but now
really
she looks
old,
quite
though.
Good. What? Oh, the
well,
dresses.
That's because she's hiding her broken arm.
Okay.
But that's a nice little scene.
She broke her arm.
It's in the info text.
Does
it
matter?
Yes.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
No, it doesn't. So the Doctor, as in the Seventh Doctor, arrives outside the TARDIS and meets lovely Leela, played by our wonderful Louise Jameson.
Pocahontas,
yes. I don't care. It's
Pocahontas,
lovely to see Louise Jameson
that
on screen.
That was so weird.
I don't care. It was lovely to see Louise Jameson. And then
She's got
Ace
no
reappears.
Shoes on.
What?
She's got no shoes on, dressed like an Indian. Seriously.
She gets bumbled.
Native American.
She gets bundled into the TARDIS, and then there's a flash that Morani does a bit more moaning. Ace reappears, and K-9 is sort of floating in the background. And the Doctor does some
floating.
Mind stuff.
He's kind of rolling around, not floating.
Yeah.
I presume that the sort of column thing in the middle of the screen is the Rani's TARDIS.
Yes,
because he rigs some explosives up on it and sets them off, and there's a few bangs, there's some psychic stuff where they all communicate with each other. All the available doctors communicate with each other. And there's an explosion and everybody's freed. And the Raniverse, all the Doctor has to do is dematerialize and everything's put back to normal. And the Raniverse is at an end, which is at the end.
Thank the gods.
So that's it. Right. How do we get gone with that? Where are we? It's taken us half an hour to talk about a 20-minute story. Well done, Kirby.
Well, that's what you pay me for.
No.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to say what I think of Dimensions in Time now. When at the time, thing is, for Doctor Who fans, I think to a certain extent, just to watch it and absorb it, if it had only been available to Doctor Who fans, it probably wouldn't have been so bad. because it's just so like almost like a quiz in a way. You're trying to look at it and see how many things you recognise and you can cherish for just seeing for what was we didn't know was going to be one last time, really. So as a Doctor Who fan, it's quite good fun. But the other thing I sort of took into consideration was if you're not a Doctor Who fan, or sorry, if you are a Doctor Who fan and you know people that aren't, it was more or less that's why they've cancelled it sort of example. So I felt that John Nathan Turner, who should have known better, one of the writers of this story, I know what he was trying to do, but what he should have actually tried to do with this 20-25 minute story was to do something to show why Doctor Who should still be on air, not just
cram
his memory. Pardon?
He failed.
He did, yeah. All he was doing was trying to say, this is just, we're never going to see Doctor Who again, so we're just going to pile all these things into a car crash sort of scenario. And then just all it's done is all the people who hate Doctor Who, like Michael Gray, said, there you go, I was right. But now, in hindsight, knowing that obviously Doctor Who did come back a lot stronger, we can actually look at this as something to cherish in regards to seeing all our favourite Doctors and some of our favourite characters. Not the story, because there's not really much of a story there, to be fair. It's just it's almost like a carnival of monsters, a carnival of Doctor Who actors, characters and whatever put together in a rudimentary, sort of awkward to watch and slightly seasicky type way. But it was then obviously there to try and sort of showcase this 3D thing that they put on Tomorrow's World, and a couple of programs other than Doctor Who went out in this sort of format. But it was, like I say, it was an absolute travesty that John Nathan Turner allowed this to be what it was, when he could have maybe got a decent writer in to create something that would show what Doctor Who could be, and within the example of perhaps bringing it back. But yes, they didn't do that, and they beeped up in my view. But I'm quite glad it's out there, because, like I say, it's got some good fun stuff in it. In hindsight, as far as whether it's canon is concerned, I prefer to think it's almost like a Matrix experience, and in that aspect, it might as well be canon, because it doesn't actually affect any timelines of anything that's happened before, during, or in the future, or whatever. It's just something that we can view and accept for what it is. Robert, what did you think?
I don't mind it, actually, but it's more in the retrospect.
Yes.
Type of thing. You know, you look at it and think, well, isn't it lovely to see all these people back together again, kind of thing. And, you know, to see, you know, so many people that are no longer with us as well. So I like that aspect of it. And we sort of get a roll call of monsters. I mean, it's a shame they didn't have the Dalek in. But
yeah, that's a bit strange, wasn't it?
Yeah, because they're one of the most iconic.
It is weird that Nathan Turner puts in K-9 that he hated and not the Dalek. There you go.
But I do wonder, though, that if JNT could have made a better sort of story and sort of pitched it as to, you know, why Doctor Who isn't on when it can do this kind of stuff, would they really have taken notice anyway? You know?
No, but I think that. I just feel that he might as well have done something. Because can I just, before you interrupt me, because there's a lot of, pardon?
Yes, go.
There's a lot of dramas on TV now, or productions, whatever, that are 22 to 25 minutes long, and they're able to turn those individual episodes into something that is really, really good. So they haven't got the time constraints excuse. You can create a really good story in that time frame, and Doctor Who is certainly.
Well,
look at all the short stories that are out there. We use one of them.
To be fair, they had to do I mean, it's shorter than it really is, due to having the title things, and then they have the episode break and all that, so that makes it longer than it actually is. It's probably shorter than you think it is.
Well, I say 20 minutes, but they could have done a 25-minute thing, even with a cliffhanger in the middle.
They originally only had the EastEnders set thing for one day, but they so many people from EastEnders wanted to be in it that they managed to get it for a second day. And by the way, the reason the Dalek was dropped was a dispute with Terry Nation. This is theoretically canon because there was a novel called First Frontier where the Seventh Doctor said, I once had a nightmare where all my old foes chased me around a soap opera.
Well, I haven't got a problem calling it canon, but it can't be canon in the aspect of real life, because obviously EastEnders isn't real life. But look at the Mind Robber. No,
it's
that
not?
The Mind Robber.
Having six Mona Lisas isn't real life either.
I'm talking about the universe of Doctor Who. But so I'm using the Mind Robber as an example of the Doctor being caught up in a fiction, even though it is a fiction. It's not. I haven't got a major problem with it. I just think they just went a bit overboard. You know, they tried to cram too much in, and they got their priorities mixed up a little bit. I don't think the priority should have been having as many of the Doctors, past, present, to be together in it. What I think the priority should have been was to create something that could have brought the series back, and they didn't.
I only learned about this through reading DWM, Doctor Who magazine, back in the day, and that was probably quite a long while after anyway, several months or so after the fact anyway, because that's when we used to get Doctor Who magazine, you know. So for me at the time, I don't know how I would have felt if I'd seen it, but, you know, I think I first watched about 5, 6 or 7 years ago, something like that. I'd sort of look at it and I don't sort of mind it as bad as it. I don't think it's as bad as.
No, I think it is.
Watched it, saw it back then.
I just don't think it matters now.
Because I don't know. I wasn't there when it. Well, I wasn't watching it at the time it went out. And I sort of learned about it after the fact, and people were saying, oh, this is travesty. Oh, how can they have this? So I don't know how I sort of can, I don't know. Just looking at it now, I don't mind it, really. Just for the fact that, you know, it's got, I don't know, how many Doctors? 5, is it altogether?
5, yeah. 5 actual Doctors, and 2 floating heads.
And, you know, all these companions, so I thought that was great.
Thank you, Robert. So, everybody, prepare yourself. Oh, let's do that again. Prepare yourselves. Kirby.
I don't sound like Mary. I hope not. Anyway, I'm mixed on this thing because I first saw it maybe 10 years ago or so, and I both liked it and thought it was one of the strangest things I'd ever seen. I mean, I liked seeing all of this stuff together. And even though half of the companions at the time, since we hadn't gone through all the stories, I didn't know who some of them were. And also some of the monsters. By the way, some of the monsters, there's an Argolan, an Aldebarian, the Biomechanoid Dragon, Cyberman, Stigarax, a Mentor, an Ogron, D-84, Sandminer Robot, Sea Devil, Tetrap, a Tractator, a Veneer, and a Vervoid.
Potatoes. Hey,
congratulations.
Anyway, I actually have watched this thing in the past 2 weeks probably good 10, 12 times. So,
what?
Yeah.
Does that make sense of these
different versions for one. I kept watching different versions for one. So that's one thing. And this morning I discovered the one that Matthew, who couldn't join us for some reason, decided to share with us with the fake
Infotext.
Infotext, which that was is funny. Which, that was absolutely hilarious. Canon, no. This is not canon. Fun, yeah, kind of. Weird, definitely. I don't know. I'll watch it every couple of years.
Is that it?
Yep.
Blimey. Okay, Terry Miles says, would Terry Nation have stopped the Daleks appearing? And then apparently. Robert Lynch Jr. says, hi all. Of course he would have stopped the Daleks from appearing.
Hello.
He wanted money for his royalties and stuff.
Apparently of all of JNT's stories from the time he took over as producer, this had the largest home viewing audience.
Oh, God. Only because it was on Noel's House Party, which was the most popular program at the time. But again, that's probably quite a good ploy. Instead of putting up against Coronation Street, put it on the BBC's most popular show. Right then, so we can move on to feedback, Kirby. I presume you put a request of feedback on.
Of course I did.
And I think actually somebody sent some feedback through. Did Debbie or somebody send some feedback through?
Mary did.
Okay. Well, we'll do your feedback.
And Debbie put it in the feedback.
That's what she said. But
by the way, yes.
Carry on.
When someone adds an E to S-H-I-T, is that pronounced differently?
Shite.
Yes. It's shite. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's what Thomas Cookson says. Feedback. It was shite.
It's almost like the new... oh dear, I've forgotten his name. Carry on.
That's not a common word we use in America. We'll simply say shit.
No, shite will do.
Jefferson Lee Ng says, let's never speak of this again. Oh, wait.
Jeff Waddle, that's a sort of Jeff Waddle statement. That's what I was trying to think of. Sorry, Jeff.
What's happened to Jeff Waddle?
He's watching. Yeah. Or he will be watching. Or he'll listen.
Okay.
Yes, you're Robert, on Jefferson. Robert now we're on to Robert.
What?
Robert Vince Jr.
Yes, I thought I was done with this outfit after Hand of Fear, with picture of Sarah Jane and her Andy Pandy. I will skip Ian.
Yes.
Robert Vince Jr., my review of Dimensions in Time. Done for Children in Need. The Rye is
Children in Need
back.
Is not is a TV like a telethon. You said it wrong.
I know
it's
what
not
it
done
is.
For, it's not for done for children in need. It's done for children.
It's the way that my screen.
Oh, yeah, okay, it's because of your screen. Okay.
Yes. Plus, he should have capitalized several of those things. The Ronnie is setting up a trap for the Doctor and his companions that will trap them for 20 years. I have no connection to EastEnders because I've never seen.
What?
Because I've never seen the show.
I like that. It says I've never seen the show.
There's a period there. It shouldn't be there. The Tom Baker Doctor was funny. They should have used a floor mic or a small mic.
Yeah.
Can't believe the 2013 bit by the way they dressed. The Ronnie was great, but was more like the Master. Mike Yates must have been forgiven to be back with UNIT.
That's
also,
true.
Didn't the Doctor's radio get blown up in Remembrance? Doesn't matter. It's a science fiction.
Yeah, they can make other radios.
Watch the special edition one. Behind the scenes parts were fun to watch. Yes, they were. The Pertwee and Davison Doctor said shit. Okay. Unfortunately, even for just charity, the story was a mess. JNT threw everything in this 12-minute two-parter. Too much jumping around for me. This might have worked better as an audio production. All in all... That's what he says. All in all, more of an extra than a main story, my dears. My rating, 1.5 out of 5.
Tell you what, that's quite a generous score, that.
Yes.
I think this is probably the only thing that could have got a 0 out of 5 for anybody. Yes.
Lori Nick says, I gave 12 minutes of my life to this at the office years ago, so I'm covered. let's see. Neil James, Dimensions in Time. It's nice to see some familiar faces again. The TARDIS landing next to the Cutty Sark is a pretty cool visual, and please, Nick Courtney got to act on screen with Colin Baker, completing his set of all the Doctors up to that point. But let's be honest, this is rubbish. 1 star out of 5. And I responded, 1 star? That's generous of you.
Yeah.
Neil James says, yeah, I was going to give it a 0, but then I saw Romana sitting behind a car for absolutely no reason at all. And I then took a screenshot from the infotext version. I said the production notes version says this about the Romana scene. Best scene in the show, this. What's this
is
about?
This is slick.
Laurie Nix sent a YouTube link. The only part in this was when Ace visited the pub. And a link to Catherine Tate. I've not watched this, so I'm not sure what this is.
Yeah, don't worry, it's fine. Skip on.
Not
that bit.
Yeah, it's the infotext version. Debbie Melrose, my feedback. It's the cartoon version of her with her mouth open.
That doesn't work too well on an audio presentation. Yeah, not surprised.
I comment that I'm feeling particularly old today, having found out that when Tom Baker filmed the scene, he's 2 years younger than I am now.
Does that make you feel old?
Yeah, well, he was pretty old, wasn't he?
Very, very old.
Yeah.
Alan T. Butcher says, is it John Pertwee? I pointed out to Master that you let magic time travel to stand in the window of the Queen Vic.
Bless him.
He's gone from Terminus.
Bless him.
And Alan T. Butcher says, is McGann up after next?
Absolutely.
After this.
Absolutely.
And I said, correct Mundo.
And no, there won't be any. There will not be any Daphne Ashbrooks, but I do recommend Kirby trying to find out the two episodes that Daphne appeared in. I think probably best to talk about the second one she appeared in, to be fair, because that was a bit more slicker, because we didn't have any Skype issues to do so much with the second one. Because that'd be quite
well,
nice.
I guess
too,
I didn't post my correct Mundo.
To direct
is it,
people
is the correct Mundo?
What?
I can't see.
No, thankfully I can't.
Just, that's why it told me you didn't finish his comment.
Oh, whatever. Okay. Whatever. Right, is that it? Done then.
Yes.
It's Mary's. Do you want Mary's?
Do Mary's, please, Robert.
It's my review. I don't have a monkey's what's going on in this story. She's got them quotation marks. But I couldn't help my giddy, happy reaction to seeing all the Doctors and companions and EastEnders regulars, even Pauline Fowler.
Yeah.
I did read that Mr. Lewis, the EastEnders producer, was mad that so many of the EastEnders cast members wanted to be in this, to the point that they were having trouble filming the episodes that required some of them to be present. And that's what Kirby's already mentioned as well. Yes.
But in those days, EastEnders only on twice a week.
Yeah, and the original script had Tom Baker being the main Doctor with very small parts for Colin Baker, Peter Davison and John Pertwee, who were all very busy with other commitments. But when they got their scripts, they each protested that they wanted more involvement, and so the script became even more convoluted, making less sense than before. Yeah. But they all had a good time. And that's it.
Well, that's fantastic. What else we got coming up? Hang on a sec.
Do we have anything from Alan T. Butcher?
Yeah, no, I have. I just need to do a bit of padding.
This is going to be the shortest 20 megabyte in years.
Look, size isn't everything, Kirby. right, let's see if I can find some blurb. Right, that girl. If I send some blurb over to you, Kirby, you're going to read this. And then while you're doing that, it should allow me, rather cleverly, to do the stuff in the background I need to do. Your name Kirby, isn't it? Kirby Bartlett.
K-I-R-B-Y.
Yeah. Kirsty.
No, I'm not Kirsty.
Bissett. There we go. There you go. I've just sent you something from...
Oh, and you sent it that way. Okay. Fine.
Yes, that way. That's the easiest way. It's all up on the screen for me.
That way.
For God's sake. Right, then. Carry on while I attend to my background
stuff. Okay. It's
carry
not the Ghostlight one. It's the one from Alan T. Butcher.
Hey!
In which the Ronnie
deep breath,
is trying...
Debbie. Deep breath.
Me? He's all right. You take it slowly. Deep breath. And push!
May I continue?
Yes, I was being funny. I'm allowed, you know. It's my show.
Yes, it's your show, yes. Master. In which the Ronnie is trying to do something or EastEnders the alternate timeline. Dear 20 Megabiters, Dimensions in Time is, of course, a closely studied deconstruction of Doctor Who as a TV phenomenon within the context of the United Kingdom. Starting with the most famous of tea clippers, the Cutty Sark, it defines the show as quintessentially British and goes on to set much of the action in an archetypal British place, skewed towards London, Albert Square. That action is, of course, set in a past, present, and future, which is now all superseded by a later present, and therefore now past as all Doctor Who is destined to be. The recklessly incorrect predictions of the future of Albert Square reflect the Devil May Care attitude to canon and continuity within Doctor Who universe. Finally, relentlessly increasing number of characters and creatures from the history of the show that appear throughout the piece, coming to a final crescendo of saturation, was depicted to convey to the audience that Doctor Who has become an ubiquitously ingrained part of British culture as a whole, and that is why it was always going to come back. It should be noted that while some suggest that this is a ridiculous pantomime which made Doctor Who look silly, in fact it did at least provide a venue for the Sixth Doctor to meet the Brigadier. So like the coat, every cloud does have a multicolored lining. We also learned that Leela spent some time off Gallifrey, perhaps working undercover for the CIA in early 17th century Virginia, pretending to be Pocahontas. Also, the new Siegfried Farnham, who in an alternate universe with his original face was the Doctor's brother, is shown here with this different face, starting out as the Ronnie's companion before settling down as a vet in Derrowby. Or was that Thirsk? Oh, so that guy was in the All Creatures? I didn't realize
quite
that.
Quite possibly.
Okay.
Probably the latest one.
How do I get back to the blooming call?
All in all, Dimensions in Time is no worse than its reputation. Is possible looking at the outtakes and behind-the-scenes footage that not all the cast were convinced it was a high-quality project. However, it is good to see a lot of old faces and quite a lot of old arms, legs, and other parts coming back for a last hurrah. The movement required to enhance the 3D effect they were trying certainly makes for an action-packed few minutes, and there may be some truth in the rumor that Aaron Sorkin was inspired by this to create the West Wing with its renowned walking and talking sequences. Mm-hmm. It's nice that they got that footage of the Cutty Sark before it was burnt to a frazzle a little time later, and interesting to note that despite the conflagration, it did survive, as it was mid-regeneration at the time, so a lot of its original parts were out of place during the fire. If anyone has any idea what the Ronnie was trying to achieve, answers on a postcard, please. Kicking or whatever iteration of the swap shop was on at the time. The story is two bodies too short of the ultimate multi-doctor story of its time, albeit the heads were thrown in there. Next up, Doctor Who and the half-human lie or always check the scanner before leaving the TARDIS. Those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher.
Sorry, I'm still trying to. Oh, right, this is right. Thank you. What's your name again? Kirby, isn't it?
I don't know.
Got this one. Right. Oh, it's more blurb to read.
For who?
Do you want this one, Robert?
Yeah.
Must I?
Yes. Do it.
Okay, I'm just trying to find you. What's your Robert Haynes, isn't it? Haynes.
Those are pains.
Oh, it's not coming up. Oh, well.
That's what she said.
I just done a search on Messenger for Robert, and it's not coming up with anything. Robert Haynes. Why are you not coming up?
I don't know.
That's weird. You're not on Facebook.
I am.
Why can't I find you? Right, let's do right, Robert, have you never communicated by Messenger before?
Just put Robert it in the group chat.
No, because everyone will see it then. Right, I found you, Robert.
Okay.
Right. Oh, just knocked my microphone with my hand. Right,
I didn't hear anything.
What?
I can't hear anything.
I sent it on Facebook Messenger.
No, okay. I'm saying you said you'd knocked the microphone with your hand. We didn't.
You wouldn't hear it.
Enough.
It's not. You don't hear what's coming through my microphone. Carry on.
How do we hear you if we don't hear through your microphone?
Oh, be quiet.
This is Peter Davison, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
You're certainly going to have to do editing when I've been on, mate.
Oh, don't start swearing.
What's going on?
Yeah, something went a bit funny, Robert. Sorry, Kirby. It all went a bit funny because right in the middle of Robert reading that last bit of text, the call dropped out.
And did I hear someone else is on with us?
Yes, Mr. Benjamin Shoveler.
Well, that's probably why, because Ben came on. Now, we need to let Robert know, because he and I were on alone there going, what's going on?
All right, okay. Well, how did you hang up the other call then?
I don't know.
How does Robert come on then? I did add him. I'll message him. Leave the other call. This is fascinating for the listeners.
Yes. I'm here.
He's there. Hello, Robert.
My microphone.
Robert, apparently Ben called, or he called Ben or something.
Yeah, I was just listening. I heard you guys.
Oh, we should have said something rude about Robert.
I was trying to explain.
Yeah, I just couldn't speak because my mute button was accidentally paused. So.
Right, so let's do an update right then. Ben's on.
Hello.
Yay.
Mr. Shen Babbler.
Yank 2.
I beg your pardon?
Does that work? I was saying thank you for swapping it. It's been a while.
Yes, Ben was at a loose end, and I had a gap to fill in the show, and I thought, lack of comedy. First thing that came to my mind, apart from myself, of course, Mr. Ben! The saviour of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, Mr. Ben Shoveler, here he is. And, of course, this is the original minus Alicia crew before Mary came on.
How's everyone doing?
As always.
Well, Robert won't be feeling the same as always in a minute because he's got to reread that feedback because the call dropped out right in the middle of it.
Are you going to have to edit?
Yeah, I suppose there'll be a bit of an edit going on there. That's going to be a complicated scenario, but never mind. I'll try and stumble through it.
Would it help if I swore and then you'd really have to edit it?
No, it wouldn't, because I do enough swearing under my breath.
Shit?
Pardon? Shut up!
Don't say shit, you bugger.
Right, shut up. Right then, so Robert, just prime yourself to reread that feedback while I just see what the people are saying online. When are you going to do the Night of the Doctor with McGann, says Neil James, probably when we get to that stage.
Yeah,
and he then says,
there.
Speaking of Paul McGann, I shall soon be doing my Christmas tradition of listening to Big Finishes at the Chimes of Midnight. If you've never heard it, I can hand on heart say it's truly magnificent. My favourite ever Christmas Doctor Who story. Then somebody called Kirby Bartlett Sloan said, Master, what happened? And then he said, Where are you? And then Terry Marr says, Is that Ben? There you go.
I think it's Ben.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Right then, Robert.
He thinks it's Stu.
Robert, read the feedback that what I sent to you, which is from Linda and Terry Miles.
Yep, all right. Take two.
Please.
Dimensions in Time. Yes. 1990 started the Doctor Who drought. Thank God for the Virgin books, giving at least 2 Doctor Who books per month. Then the BBC go and do this, a 2-part skit in 1993 as part of Children in Need. Reading the Virgin books, there was the further adventures of Sylvester and Ace. I thought it was the Doctor and Ace. and later Paul McGann as the Doctor. The second book each month was a missing adventures book, where earlier Doctors have stories missing from the TV stories. Somewhere in between TV adventures. You may think that I'm skirting around the story. That's because I saw this on transmission and was shocked. I liked the story and seeing all the monsters, but seeing the Doctors looking older and the companions older too. The worst thing was EastEnders. I've worked in the East End of London and that crap, sorry,
written by middle-class people who live in Berkshire is not the East End. Sorry, Adam, I know you said you watch it.
No, I do not. How dare you? How dare you? Do not watch soap operas.
Well, how do
operas.
You know that Bonnie Langford is on?
Because I used to watch EastEnders before they decided that all soap operas have to be mind-numbingly depressing. In the early days of Coronation Street, EastEnders, and all these, there was a lot more light-hearted things in the stories. It's all depressing, miserable crap which we can do without, because life itself is depressing enough. Please continue, but Robert.
At the same time, they all managed to be completely over PC.
That too.
Yeah. That's exactly.
God, so
what shook me was how the doctors had aged, as they had all stayed the same age in my mind, due to all the books I had been reading every day on the train ride to and from London for work. And I feel like that when I see the DVDs as well. You know, you see them as being eternally young.
I feel like that every time I see a picture of Adam.
Thank you. What?
What? You're eternally young.
He's certainly not.
No, what?
Or thin.
Shut up. My weight and size is quite consistent. Thank you very much.
God, I've missed you, Adam.
Shut up.
All right, Linda and I watched this by mistake last week. Thanks again, Kirby. I still didn't like it. Linda said the same thing as me. She liked the monster spreading, but didn't like the story. Swapping from doctor to doctor annoyed her. As we are doing the 1966 TV movie next week, then the 1999 Curse of Fatal Death, stay safe, everyone. Linda and Terry Miles.
Yes, well narrated, Robert. Very well done. Right, see if I can dodge any more insults. Right, so we've got this.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian, save me.
In the Matt Smith era story, The Impossible Astronaut, the TARDIS crew go to Utah, where River Song shoots what seems to be the Doctor. Was the Master in Utah, with his TARDIS disguised as a 12-foot-tall triangular pillar?
That wasn't the
this
Master.
This year, what with the virus, you should not use the expression, shop until you drop. Dimensions in Time, by David Roden and John Nathan Turner.
Curse them.
What we're seeing here, Sarah, is the work of a genius. It was for charity, a phrase often used when something is subpar or questionable. With everyone working for free, they could have all the available doctors and companions. Not an episode of Doctor Who, but a chance to see 18 memorable actors from the show.
Indeed.
Wrestle with a script involving jumping around the 1990s, 2000s and 1970s. Or was it the 1980s? Viewing it in those terms, I quite enjoyed it. Now, shameless padding, part of the cast list. John Pertwee, Tom Baker, Peter Davison, Colin Baker, Sylvester McCoy, Kate O'Mara, Carol Ann Ford, Nicola Bryant, no padding there, Deborah Watling, Nicholas Courtney, Caroline John, Richard Franklin, Elizabeth Sladen, Louise Jameson, Marla Ward, Sarah Sutton, Bonnie Langford, Sophie Eldred. Oh well, at least they did not go to Coronation Street. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Brilliant as ever.
Thank you, Ian.
See, what they should have done is make Doctor Who go to Dallas.
Yes. Or
John Pertwee and J.R. Ewing. That's something no one wouldn't want to see, is it?
Well, Kate O'Mara was in Dynasty. Maybe they should have gone to Dynasty.
Or Dynasty. It's
Dynasty.
So, do you remember Dimensions in Time, Ben?
It's like I only watched it about 13 minutes ago.
Well, did you?
No.
Really?
No, it's not.
Why?
Because, well, I was going to watch it, but then I started playing FIFA. which is what I'm doing as we talk. But obviously, I'm giving you my full attention. Come on! I'm giving you my full attention. Yes, I do remember it. I remember watching it at the time during Children in Need, which, as I'm sure you've explained, is a charity fundraising evening put on by the BBC every year to try and get more money out of their licence fee payers for so-called good projects. I do remember it at the time seeming rather confusing, the fact that there was a crossover between Doctor Who and EastEnders, which, quite frankly, didn't work. But, you know, well done for trying.
Yes, I am trying. Laurie Nix, I don't know if she's referring to you, Ben, said, "Hiya, boys, did the pubs close early?"
I hate pubs.
Yeah?
Yeah. Pubs are for mingers. Why would you go to a pub and mix with a load of COVID people? God, I mean, that's just stupid, isn't it?
Well, certainly a lot of it going on in the Isle of Wight. The stupidest thing here, we're in Tier 1, and all the people from the mainland in Tier 2 do little pub tours, come over on the ferries, and then... wreck really the works. Place.
It really works. Well done. Well done, government.
Yes, marvellous. In fact, I went to work this morning and found our shop window had been shattered, and the shop window of Pascal Apke, and also, rather annoyingly, and I'll explain what I mean in a minute, shocking was the fact that they smashed the window of Earl Mountbatten Hospice charity shop. So Earl Mountbatten Hospice is a charity on the Isle of Wight that raises funds for the hospice that cares for people on their last few days, cancer
hospice.
Well,
the thing is, Adam, you're going to have to do an edit here because those people are arseholes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not editing that because that's what they are. So I'm hoping that the people that broke those windows, therefore costing that charity money that could go towards caring for someone, get karma somewhere along the line.
Yeah, you've got to hope that. I mean, obviously no one's going to sit here and say, "Oh, I hope you get this out." But, you know, you just got to hope that karma...
Karma is what... Not saying they should die or anything like that, but karma is...
Do you know what the ultimate karma is? And this is a brilliant plan. This should be taken up by governments the world over. And if it does, I want a percentage of the profits. Anyone who refuses to have the COVID vaccine, which is the only way that we're ever going to get back to somewhat normality in life.
Yep.
Anyone who refuses to have it should be blacklisted from the NHS. So if they get COVID, they have to go private.
Well, most of the people are doing that, like, what's his name? Corbyn's brother can afford to go private anyway. So.
Yeah, but they can afford to go private for a bit. If they stay ill for a long time, it's going to completely bankrupt them. And even if it doesn't stay ill for a long time, even if they're only ill for a short time, it will show them that they did the wrong thing. And they're not playing the game. They're not pulling together, are they?
Indeed. Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
Oh, sorry. Wrong podcast.
Just while Mary's not on, she'd be probably agreeing with you quite considerably. But we're moving away. But I just wanted to have a rant about people smashing up the window of a charity shop, whether it be a cancer charity or not. It's just ridiculous. And I just hope that something is done.
Die. Let's hope they die.
I didn't say that.
I did.
So
I don't know them.
So we've done feedback. What else have we done? Oh, that's all right. Then.
News?
So we can move on
news.
To... News. Doctor Who news. Well, I know Ben's going to be very excited to hear that Captain Jack is returning to Doctor Who for the New Year special.
I did see the fact that John Barrowman and a bottle of hair dye has returned to Doctor Who. And I was so excited, it almost made me thinking about maybe watching it. But I didn't get any further than that.
I was going to say, well, I think it's going to be more Captain Jack than Doctor in that episode. From what I've seen, the Doctor sits in a room scratching little hashes up against a blackboard.
But I'm not sure where everything is. I mean, is that the Doctor? Where was the other Doctor that was there? And how is now the Doctor not... now something else has happened and the Doctor now walks around, is now actually a woman... but was a woman, well, a girl, but isn't a doctor, but was a doctor, but isn't a Time Lord.
You've got to bear in mind, though, I know you get confused, but in a couple of weeks' time, obviously next week we're doing the Doctor Who TV movie. The week after
that
we're doing Curse of Fatal Death, in which Joanna Lumley plays the first ever woman doctor.
Joanna Lumley.
Is that canon, though?
Joanna Lumley, you're not allowed to mention Joanna Lumley in Farnborough.
It might not be canon in the world of Doctor Who, but it's canon in our journey through the series.
Does that mean that Mr. Bean is almost always
yes, yes, indeed. But there were some great actors that decided to play the Doctor in that particular farce.
Who was it? Talking about Doctor Who news, there was a... I should have gone 4-0 up, by the way. I broke through the middle, but Gabriel Jesus hit it into the keeper instead of...
Okay, yes. thank you for
there
that.
There was a bit of news a couple of weeks ago about something, and that misses made me forget it. So move on.
Well, that worked really, really well. Genius. Right, there's a festive...
It's brilliant, that, wasn't it?
Festive special merchandise. Hero Collector Eagle Moss will be launching the very first merchandise tie-in to the Doctor Who Festive Special Revolution of the Daleks. I've got a funny feeling the Daleks are in that story. Don't know if anyone got that.
There's these things that are supposed to be Daleks, and they don't...
Here we go.
They look rubbish, actually.
They've already said... They have already said that the Daleks are not changing design. There is that Dalek we're talking of that, you know, they show a very pretty design, but the general drone Daleks, I suppose you'd call them, are not changing design. They haven't done, even when they bought in those paradigm Daleks a few years ago, they still had the drone Daleks. And going back even further in time, when we had the special weapons Dalek and stuff like that, they're just special one-offs. And what about the Emperor Dalek?
They look like the Resolution type Dalek, if you ask me.
Resolution type Dalek?
You know, from the new
Renaissance
special
of the Daleks. Reconnaissance Dalek. That's what I heard. I was looking for. Get Renaissance. Yeah, yeah, it doesn't matter.
I remembered what I was going to say now.
Oh yeah, go on, Em.
There was talk by Peter Davison about another
five-ish Doctor's reboot.
Yeah. They said they're gonna try and do one for the 60th.
That'd be good.
I know it's quite a long way off, but you know.
It's not that long.
You know what I like them to do for the 60th is do another Doctor Who celebration like they did on the 50th, and we can all go up to London and have a great deal of fun. That's what I'd like to see.
If you can
and
travel.
Doing the five-ish Doctor reboot. I tell you what, it was a major event trying to get tickets for that. Managed it. And was delighted that I did as well. Brilliant. I wish I'd spent the whole weekend up there. So it only one day, and trying to cram all that stuff into one day. And Isabella was, well, quite young. But she's seven, wasn't she? Six. She was six. And so she got tired quite easy, and she wasn't really interested in it all. There's a picture of us with Jenna Coleman. She sort of stood there with her arms folded and a slightly pissed off looking look on her face.
What did Jenna Coleman look like?
That's what Jenna Coleman looked like. And that's what I'm hoping that Karen Gillan's going to look like when we go and meet her in Telford in April.
Can you sit on something, Adam?
I'm just thinking, remember when we used to do the earlier shows, whenever we mentioned Amy or Karen Gillan, that Reese would constantly go off on one every time. Even the mere mention of it. And I'm hoping that I could get a picture of me with Karen Gillan, just to sort of goad Reese a little bit. Where else we get? Doctor Who back on New Year's Day. I think we nearly glossed over this last year, because there was originally a talk about it actually being back on Christmas Day, but they did in fact move it to New Year's Day, which means we're going to get an episode of Doctor Who in 2021. There was also talk that Matthew said last week in regards to they're trying to get the series ready for the autumn, but I've heard that they're trying to get the series ready. Pardon?
Who's Matthew? Never
Matthew
heard of
Kressel. Him. I've heard that they're trying to get the series ready for early 2022 with the New Year special of that year, which they're filming now, apparently.
I wonder if they're going to split
being
the
beginning
series.
Of the series. Well, they can't really do that if it's only 8 episodes, Robert. That's hardly worth it at all.
Well, they can. They can.
They can do whatever they want.
Makes no sense. You can't get into the series if you've got... Because you know what Doctor Who's like. You'll get one or two absolute duffers. You get one really, really good story. And what they do, they do the really, really good story right at the end of the little first segment, then bring a duffer in for the second batch, you know. And that annoys me as well. If they're going to do 8 episodes, they're so good at bringing... Why can't they write out the duffers from the series and just have the good ones?
Well, just saying. If they're doing, they're only doing eight episodes. Mm. If they're only doing eight episodes, then there shouldn't be a duff in there at all. They should all be Christmas special stands.
Yeah, as well. Not...
Because there's not enough of it. You can't water down something that's only got eight episodes. The problem is when you write 13, there's only a few that slip through the net.
Any
album with 13 tracks on has never got 13 absolutely belting tracks.
Indeed.
It's always got one or two little ones. You think maybe that can not be on the album.
Yeah, they want to make it into an EP.
You take it down to eight, yeah, you're writing an EP, and it should be an absolutely fantastic EP, but it won't be because there's some bird in the TARDIS.
No, it's not her fault. It's
bad
it's,
Christmas episodes.
It's
Doctor
Chibnall.
Spelled Earth one.
Yeah, but that was during the Moffat era. Exactly.
There have been some appalling Christmas episodes since it came back, but the David Tennant ones are all good. So, you know, what can you say?
That's true. They are mainly quite good, that's true.
But you know, any episode that they do, they always say, oh, yes, it's such a fabulous episode. We've got this lovely guest cast and blah, blah, blah. And it can be a stinking pile of rubbish.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the obviously, we saw the Revolution of the Daleks trailer and some of the cast. Wasn't the American chap in that? Isn't he the bloke who is in the crap
Chris
spiders
Knott.
Story? Sorry?
Chris Knott, yeah, the spiders one.
So
the
he
spiders.
Played the... He played like the Trump style character, didn't
yes,
he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I was quite surprised to see him coming back. So that'd be quite interesting. And the woman who plays the Prime Minister.
Episode.
The woman who plays the Prime Minister, she's a well known sort of face in British TV. And she looks rather good as well. So the cast looks really quite splendid.
I did read an interview the other day with someone called Jodie Whittaker. I don't know who he is. But they were saying that they're planning to stay as the Doctor for a time yet.
Right.
So
can I know that's going to upset you, Ben. Right. I know that's going to upset you. But what I'm going to say about that is that somebody said, and I was quite in agreement with them, they've got to break this three series and out... thing because it just is ridiculous because you know what's happening. It's like, oh, there's a third series, a Doctor's going to regenerate at the end of this one. Well,
exactly.
Break it. Yeah, okay. I'm not quite an extreme as you, Ben, saying that I don't want Jodie Whittaker playing the Doctor. I'd rather it were another actor. I'll do the secret. I would rather the Doctor remained a bloke because we've had that relationship throughout the whole history, but now we know, well, you don't know, but it's a thing called the Timeless Child. I'll talk about that in a minute, but it does open up a few avenues of that I shall discuss in a minute. But I just would like a few more series for them to get it right, and then maybe Jodie moved on. So good, if she does four or five series, all well and good. I still don't think she's going to do as many episodes the way things are going that in five series as David Tennant did in three and a bit. But, I'd like that to continue. I know she'd probably want to still be in the series, in the role, when they get to the 60th anniversary. But we'll see what happens.
Is they want to make sure that whoever is playing it doesn't always go at the end of end of a series.
Yeah, they
that's
want to
too predictable.
Yeah, then, I agree.
Exactly.
Why not have you know, like three episodes, and then Jodie Whittaker gets shot in the head?
Yeah.
Something
well,
like that.
They could say that.
I must clarify. I obviously don't mean the actress. I mean the character she portrays.
Yes. Yeah, that's.
I wish no harm.
I've always wished that myself. That yes, I may. They may have had a hint that the actor is leaving. But don't.
Oh, right.
It's too predictable that it's like saying of the Daleks in a title. You know the Daleks are going to be in it.
Yeah.
Just what they could need to do is say sometime.
The problem is not saying this one's called Doctor Who.
They just need to say sometime during this season the Doctor will regenerate, and you may know who the Doctor's going to regenerate into because they can't really keep that bit secret.
They should keep it secret, and they can keep it secret.
I agree, but I don't think they will.
I know obviously times have changed massively from the 80s when it went from Tom Baker into Davison, and then Davison into Baker, but. It wasn't, it was announced on Blue Peter quite often who was going to be the next Doctor, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But you could keep it a secret. When David Tennant was going, you didn't know he was going until pretty much just before, I think, wasn't it? It was
do you remember the speculation with the next Doctor one? They were talking about
that worked really well. And also, we didn't know what was happening at the end of the Stolen Earth episode when No, he got shot by the Dalek and he was regenerating, and that was the best cliffhanger ever. Because we were thinking, oh, maybe they're actually going to regenerate him now. They've kept all a big secret.
Yeah, I thought that too.
Yeah. So
oh, that was amazing. That was probably the best Doctor Who cliffhanger ever.
It was superb.
That should have happened, I reckon.
Maybe so.
No, because then would have been done out of David Tennant, and that would just been wrong.
Yeah, I agree. No, I think
we'd have put out Matt Smith a bit earlier. And no
it is, it is, it is an ideal scenario that yes, they might announce. Obviously, it does bring good publicity to the series, to the show, when they say that the Doctor is going to regenerate. But I personally think if you say right at some point during this next series the Doctor regenerates, not say when it's going to happen, that might generate people to watch the program to think, oh wow, it might happen this week, it might happen this week, you know.
It would then get a huge hit,
yeah,
because everything would be, you know, everyone who cared about it would be talking about it. It would just be like, wow, did you see, like if David Tennant had regenerated at the end of what you call it,
yeah,
then that would have been a huge thing, you know. The forums would have gone absolutely mental over, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Yes. But everybody's still talking about Doctor Who, you know, even during these dark times. The other thing I was going to talk about is the Timeless Child scenario, which is constantly on my mind when I'm thinking about Doctor Who as a... I'm missing it so much. I'm missing New Who. I'm missing the fact that I have to wait ages for some new stuff. And I was thinking, well...
Who's there?
When we had the hiatus and all the fans were making their own, not all the fans, the people that have video cameras and costumes were making their own Doctor Who, basically. So they're all
went from a massive amount of sounding people to about seven.
Yeah, well, no, it was. I mean, I used to go around Alice's house and we used to watch videos that his friends had made of Doctor Who that they'd written them and performed them and produced themselves.
They still do that. Good.
Pardon?
These days. They still do that these days.
Yeah, no, I'm saying.
Can
so,
I just say to anyone who has actually done that, buy a PlayStation or Vita.
But what I'm saying is what the Timeless Child created was the possibility that all these people that have played the Doctor in their own little dramatic productions have actually been an incarnation of the Doctor that we may not want to talk about. Because we don't know how many Timeless Children, how many people that were the Doctor before he decided to call himself the Doctor, or and there was also a point in which he was retconned and forgot the incarnations that happened before William Hartnell and forgot the Joe Doctor as well. So
well, I told you my theory for that.
Yeah,
it's not the Doctor, it's the Master.
Or you think the Doctor, the Joe Martin Doctor's the Master?
No. The
Timeless Child is the Master.
Is the Doctor, but the Master is the Timeless Child.
Well, let's say that's wrong, and I prefer the idea that the Doctor is the Timeless Child, because then that gives everybody who's ever played the Doctor, in their own mind, can actually say they were the Doctor. They might not officially say.
Yeah, but you're forgetting something, Adam.
What?
During Dimensions in Time, Susan says the original.
Yes, the original, because she was told... He was the original by the Doctor. So you're saying the Timeless Child, Dimensions in Time is canon then. That's what you're saying with that statement, Robert.
Of course.
Well, I mean, my view on it all is that it shouldn't have happened, and I'm not paying any attention to it. And my life's a lot simpler, not paying any attention to anything. Because it makes a lot more sense. And it hasn't been ruined. For 50 years of all that history that they've made, oh, I'll tell you what, let some bloke in who can try and rewrite it because he fancies a bit of an argument, I think. I don't know what it was. Could have been the wife, I suppose. She likes an argument.
Most and all about she might Luke, listen to this show one day. She'd be careful what you say. I personally, as you may, obviously everybody disagrees with me, but I know when I'm right, so I'm going to give myself one of these.
Who agrees with you?
And
right,
I just
who
think
who
that
agrees with me that it should never have happened and that they should have never changed the history of the program.
Ah, no, but to furthermore it also brings in that in my mind that the fact, or not so much a fact, the possibility of that our next story after the Doctor Who TV movie, all those Doctors played by Joanna Lumley and Hugh Grant and twice by who's the Schalke Doctor, Richard E. Grant and people like that. that were actually incarnations of the Doctor that got retconned when somewhere along around just before the first Doctor, i.e. William Hartnell, came into existence, he got retconned and forgot all about all this stuff that's happened. And that's the way I'd like to view it. And I'm going to view it that way, whether you like it or not.
You can view it however you want,
Mark. Thank you, because I'm right. Yeah. Right then. And also, it opens up a wider avenue of imagination for writers of Doctor Who. Right then. So,
you give yourself another ding. Oh, my goodness.
I don't get a lot of dings. Collection Season 8. BBC Studios have announced that the next instalment of the Doctor Who collection range will be the Third Doctor, second season, season 8, starring John Pertwee, Katie Manning. It is wholly anticipated instalment. This hotly anticipated instalment can be pre-ordered now, and we will be available for 23rd of February 2021. One of the best series of Doctor Who, that is, you know. And that's it for news, but I should really this week talk about our sponsors, because Lavazzi...
Before you go on to your sponsors, can I throw an idea I've got out there?
As long as it's not rude, yes.
No, that's actually pretty sensible.
Oh, God, help. God, hang on, this is a first. Hang on, whoa, hang on. Ben's going to say something sensible.
You may have gone a bit early on that, Adam. Oh. Right. So, going right back to the start of the television series, there are still, 96 or something episodes which are missing.
Yes.
Which were originally broadcast, and obviously due to the BBC and the unique way it was run by a bunch of dicks back in those days, they decided to wipe things that they're transmitted.
They did, yes.
So why don't they? Because we saw how good what's his name was playing William Hartnell in.
Yes. I'm going to meet him up at Wales Comic Con.
Why don't they remake all the old Doctor Who episodes look really crap because they were made in the 60s when, yes, you know, they were using cardboard to look like planets.
Yep.
Why don't they just remake those old stories using actors that look like, oh no, that's a really bad touch. Oh no! Oh, I was 12-1 now.
I like that idea, Ben.
Yeah.
Because, that would put a whole new spin on them, wouldn't it? Because that's the classic stuff that people love. And, you know, if they remade it with people who, I say, looked similar to the original actors, original scripts, you know, just updated them like a cover version of it, if you know what I mean.
That
would look fantastic. That'd be brilliant because some of those early stories are completely underrated.
That's another one of my ideas you've nicked.
Yeah, but you know what you can do also? Have you heard of deep fake? You know when they...
Deep what?
Deep fake. You know when they...
I've seen a film that's got similar characters to that. It wasn't Doctor Who related. Although they were keep on going down black hole. No,
you know when they use technology to, like, put an actor's face on another guy?
Yes.
That can be used as well to make them even look even more like...
Yeah, that's true. But we know that the chap who played the first Doctor in...
David Bradley.
Yeah. He's getting on a bit, but we know that he's already played the first Doctor in Doctor Who. He's played the first Doctor in Big Finish.
Adventures in Time.
Yeah, and I think that's a goer. I think it'd be lovely for them to recreate some of them, especially Marco Polo. Yes, they can't bring back
Marco,
Susan, but like you said, Robert, they could bring in some actors and just recreate the faces of the young Chesterton and the young Barbara, and that would work really, really well. They wouldn't have to change, David Bradley's face because he's established as the first Doctor now. And it'd be lovely to see that story.
Getting on a bit now. He is. You know, I don't think he's in great health anymore either.
Oh, is he not?
He is at this moment still more alive than William Hartnell.
You're probably right there.
I don't think probably.
Yeah.
Unless you know something we don't at 8:35 on Sunday evening.
No. But no, I think that
ping in a minute and it says David Bradley's died. You're going.
Yeah, that would be disaster. That's happened before to me. You know, that has happened before. I've been talking about, and then suddenly ping comes through and they've died. But no. Yeah, I'd love to see stories like Marco Polo that have been removed. I know they're recreating stuff with animations and stuff like that, but I think it's got to be worth a try just to see how a recreation of a missing story would work.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think it would look really nice, and it would fill in holes very nicely.
That's what she said.
Just think of the money they'd make off the DVDs as well.
Hang on, I just did one of your catchphrases and you didn't even notice.
What was that?
The established 20 megabyte catchphrase. You said about filling holes, and I said that's what she said, but never mind.
Oh, sorry, I was being texted well by the wife and scoring goals at the same time.
Okay, well, that's... Oh, I didn't do Lavazzi. I was about to talk to do Lavazzi. There was a competition that's now finished on Lavazzi.
I shall stop interrupting and let you carry on.
No, you carry on. Well, don't carry on for this minute. Anyway, yes, there was a competition.
I shall stop talking and let you take over.
Go to lavazzi.co.uk and sign up for their new... Shut up.
Pass my lips until you have given your sponsors full credit.
I'm just saying, go to lavazzi.co.uk and sign up for their newsletter. And you...
then people should hear who they are.
Chances of getting
so they can get the sponsorship, you know, and
some good offers.
So, Adam, the floor is yours. Do the sponsors. Start talking now, Adam.
Who won.co.uk?
Lavazzi.co.uk.
Have lots of things
that's
on pre-order.
Sponsor number one, everybody. Sponsor number one.
They're Time good. War. Grey Man of the Mountain. These are big Finnish productions, are available on CD from whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
On pre-order, I'm afraid. Paternoster Gang Heritage 4. Paternoster. Paternoster? Yeah, or whatever. Paternoster. Plight of the Pimpernel. This is a Sixth Doctor big Finnish audio production. And Shadow of the Daleks. Oh, yeah, tell you what, I've never seen the Shadow of the Daleks 2, but I'd hazard a guess the Daleks are in it.
I think so.
No, really?
No, it's just a
dark. Sounds like a Cyberman story.
You never actually see one, you just see shadows the whole time. They couldn't afford the budget.
I wonder if they checked with the Terry Nation estate first.
No, because they missed off three bobbles.
Sadly.
It's completely different.
Yeah, but I think it's the visual version of the Daleks you're not allowed to show without. Anyway, moving on. Sadly, when I click on coming soon on whowon.co.uk, it's a blank screen.
That's what she said.
Obviously, they're also experts in Doctor Who books, the Christmas magazine and the Doctor Who Monthly, or what they call it. Doctor Who Magazine, not Monthly. Magazine. That's what it used to be called. So the other thing I'd like to point out, if you sign up to islewhiteheroes.co.uk, Rob does a very regular... opening of their delivery boxes, which is a fascinating little video and very exciting and tantalizing until you find out that all the stuff he's opened is not actually particularly interesting for me personally. So if you sign up for or join the page, the Isle of Wight Heroes page, or just Heroes Collectible Funko Pops, what it's called on Facebook, it's quite interesting to see what they've got.
Can you post
on offer.
A link to that?
Yeah, I posted the link for a live video that he had, I think it was yesterday, actually.
Okay.
And also, I'd also posted a video that I shot in the shop. But you can go to their website, iwheroes.co.uk, where you can see and pre-order, I believe, if you sign up. All sorts of pop vinyls, the most recent items being the Funko Pop vinyl of Marvel Blacklight Doctor Strange, which is a collectible, particularly collectible at £18.99. But they've also got the Fortnite Ripley.
Adam, how much was that? Was that just £18.99?
No, that's quite a lot, actually, for a Funko Pop. And also
I was
they've
trying
got...
to do you a favour there and make them give you a nice bit of spot. Oh, I mean, you're... Geez, seriously?
Mandalorian, the Star Wars Mandalorian Cara Dune, the real Cara Dune, is quite hot in the series. And Harley Quinn with Mallet. So there's these new items available.
Oh,
Betty Boop. Betty Boop's available. And the Marvel Avengers Endgame...
Is that black and white?
I am Iron Man pose... which I've got on my mantelpiece, one of my favourite pop vinyls of all. So, yes, if you go to Heroes, so iwheroes.co.uk, sign up and have fun. Very good website.
I can't work out why they're doing a Harley Quinn with a Timmy Mallet. What are those two things got in common?
She's got a mallet. She hits people with it, as far as I know. I haven't
seen
the film.
She's got a big hammer,
Is it a mallet's mallet?
Yeah, it goes every time he hits someone.
I didn't realise that she played that game in the film. I might have to watch it then.
Right, moving on. Stuff I've watched this week. So, I'm just about to watch the most recent episode of Star Trek Discovery, which I've been looking forward to.
Say that. My now
brand new HD, UHD TV, which is absolutely amazing, especially when watching football. What else did we watch this week? Mandalorian was great. That I watched last week. What, this week's Mandalorian to watch last week.
So that 2,000 pound TV really was.
How much? How much?
You said you got a 4K TV on TikTok.
That was because it was a joke, Kirby.
I know.
The TV was, if you really want to know, £599.99.
Yeah, well, I've just won £1.72 on a four-game acca because Liverpool have just gone 2-0 up. Get in.
Joy.
£1.72.
What wonderful news.
Ten pence better.
Anyway,
never bet more than 10p or you end up betting £16,000 like one of my brothers.
Really, really makes my day when somebody says goodness. Liverpool have scored. That's really put a damper
on. No, I didn't want Liverpool to win. They've just gone 3-0 up. But when they get 2-0 up, then the bet pays out. And I've gotten three other results. I've done well today.
Anyway.
Adam.
What else have you watched?
Adam.
Yes.
You'll really enjoy The Mandalorian, but I don't think Discovery's really was up to much this week.
How dare you? I don't want to know whether it's up to much or anything. I want to watch it completely untainted by other people's opinions.
Well,
Thank you very much.
Now you've been tainted.
Yeah.
Adam, I've got to ask the big question of the week, though.
What?
What did you think of Giovanna winning I'm a Celebrity?
Right. Can I use your catchphrase? Right.
Yeah, it's all right. Surely Shane should have won.
Yeah, I think he was probably most entertaining, and yeah, I would have been quite happy for Shane to win. I think he would have been quite happy as well. It sort of petered off into a bit of a damp squib, to be fair. But Giovanna's a nice lady, and I'm sure she'll do very well out of it. I've got probably this little theme tune. Because Tim Drury says, watch it with one eye and it's almost good. Are you talking about our podcast? Is he talking about us?
No, he's talking about the 3D effect for Dimensions in Time.
Yeah. That's how I watched it when I lost my 3D glasses, actually.
I've got a pair of that particular type of glasses somewhere because, 30 years ago, around the same time, I guess, they did, they released Hondo, the John Wayne movie, in using that technique.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm so glad to see it caught on. I mean, it worked really well.
Okay.
Yeah, it does work.
It does, but it makes you feel sick afterwards. That's the trouble. I seem to remember watching, was that film Bolt? The Pixel film in 3D in the cinema, and there's certain elements of that film. Yeah, the dog that looks like magic. There's certain elements of that film that made me feel a bit crazy. Anyway, what was I talking about before you interrupted me? Oh yeah, stuff on telly.
Things you've seen.
Yeah, there was a new series on Netflix called We Are the Champions. Been on there for a couple of weeks actually, which I thought was quite good fun. It starts off with the cheese rolling, the legendary cheese rolling competition that up in the sticks somewhere.
Idiots.
They are idiots, but it's a really good episode. It's only half an hour, it's well worth watching.
I don't want to see people maiming themselves.
Well, nobody actually ends up getting badly injured, surprisingly, after that event's been on for hundreds.
The one time that I
really
watched with us, they were.
That's not what they said on the episode. And the next episode of that is a chili eating competition, which is.
Oh, well, God.
I wouldn't have your dinner before eating it, but it's quite an interesting episode.
Jackie Chan does that in a lot of movies.
There's a farm in America where they pride themselves on constantly creating the hottest chilies in existence. Mm-hmm. So they invented this competition, which, if you watch it, it sort of backfires a little bit on them. But, yeah.
Does it backfire to that?
Oh, hang on, I forgot to play the... Hang on. It backfires on them. Thank you very much. Right then. So that's the stuff.
I think you'll edit that together. That's
yes.
Well, Kirby reckoned this was going to be a very short episode. Well, he wasn't.
But I've been watching. I finally signed up for BritBox.
Yeah, for your birthday, wasn't it, Kirby?
Yes,
Ben. It's Kirby's 65th birthday, and he's celebrating it by signing up for BritBox.
I take it you mean he's 65 in 10 years' time.
He's 64.
Is it 64? Is that the Beatles song? When I get old. Pardon? Stop it.
Anyway, the first thing I watched was Five-ish Doctors Reboot.
Oh, yes.
Which I didn't realize was out there on there. And then Fred and I have been watching Are You Being Served? And she's finding that absolutely hilarious.
There's lots of pussy jokes in that series, I seem to remember.
Have you seen Mrs. Slocum's pussy?
And my wife is enjoying all of the documentaries.
Oh, yes. The good stuff on
fantastic.
There.
Fantastic. Although she started watching the one from the 70s, Civilization.
Oh, that's a bit old.
Oh, yeah. She said it was very Eurocentric and misogynistic and really bad. She couldn't watch it.
Well, beware with BritBox, Kirby, because you can be watching a TV series, a documentary series you really like, and decide to go off and sort of pause watching and come back to it, and they can take it off without even realizing that it was taken off. I was watching a really interesting crime documentary series. I got to episode 3. I thought, well, I'll go and watch it was a new series as a murder on CCTV. I watched that and then go back to it. So I did go back to it, and it's gone. So beware.
We were surprised that Danger UXB was not on there.
Well, there's something. Is tripods on there?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, there's plenty of stuff they can put on there. The thing I still haven't watched yet is
Red Dwarf is on there, and yes. Fred and I started watching Red Dwarf.
Well, that's on Netflix as well. But
excellent.
I haven't.
It's not. It's on Netflix in the UK. It's not on American Netflix.
Well, Netflix is in the UK. It's the only one that counts, Kirby. So don't worry about it.
All these people are going, oh no, Doctor Who's being dropped from Netflix.
Is it?
Well, it was from your Netflix. It's been gone from our Netflix for years and years and years.
Again, I can watch it on the iPlayer, so I'm not really bothered.
I can watch it on HBO Max.
Yeah,
I can watch my DVDs and Blu-rays.
Exactly.
Well, too, I can as well.
Yes. What were we
going to? I go out and talk to women.
Oh, God.
And the other thing I just watched was Caught Up with the Mandalorian. I missed.
Hang on, I haven't watched the most recent episode, so don't say anything.
It's good.
And to say what we watched as a family yesterday, and I have finally, after 31 years of being asked to do so, I have finally lost my Dirty Dancing virginity. When I first met She Who Must Be Obeyed, when she was 17 years old. What?
You hadn't seen it yet.
I hadn't seen it until yesterday. Well, let me speak. Let me speak. 31 years ago, when I met She Must Be Obeyed, she was 17, and she had the VHS of Dirty Dancing. And every time I called round for her, she had this VHS tape playing in her house. So she almost knew it inside out, and so much so that the tape ended up stretching and. I always refused to watch it until more recently we got the Ultra HD facility where I thought, oh, it might be interesting to watch a film made in the mid-80s and see how it holds up in HD. It was very good. Very good sort of heartwarming film. The other thing I thought would be quite nice to get is a film called Elf with an actor called Will Ferrell. Don't know if you've heard of him. That's one we will be watching. But yeah, I was quite enjoyed my first ever viewing of Dirty Dancing. Could end up being my last of it.
I'll tell you what I've been watching.
What?
I've been watching on YouTube from the 1990s. It's a program called The Mary Whitehouse Experience.
Ooh.
Which was Dave Baddiel, Rod Newman. Bloke out of Not Going Out But Not Leave Mac.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but is that on BritBox?
No, it's not. That is on BritBox. It's on
I'm
YouTube.
Waiting for them to get New Statesman onto it, because I'm really looking forward to watching New Statesman again.
But you wouldn't believe how much comedy has changed in 30 years. The things that they say on those shows.
It's a PC stuff, isn't it?
We watched Harry Enfield the other day as well. And it's just unbelievable.
Do you know, I bought, because of them deciding that certain episodes of Little Britain were no longer appropriate, I bought the series, the whole lot, off iTunes, so as I can watch them at my leisure. They're not going to.
You could have bought the DVDs off me. I found them in my loft the other day.
I've got the first series of those, and I couldn't watch them. I didn't understand what was funny.
Well, it's not if you can't understand
like
humor.
My wife. That's and at that point, I've got to go. So it's been lovely catching up with everybody, but she must be available.
Well, it's always nice to get you on to say Happy Christmas, Ben, anyway. So, and the fact that Matthew wasn't on here to argue with you because he was supposed to be on this week.
What did you want me to say?
I was just saying it's nice to sort of be able to say Happy Christmas to you, Ben. And
thank you very much. I'm not going to say it back.
Oh, that's fine.
Of course I will. Happy Christmas to you, Adam. Happy Christmas to everybody else listening, maybe on the podcast, maybe live, maybe people walking behind my shed who can hear me talking because it's a shed. And I forget it's a shed sometimes and shout very loudly in here.
Is it cold? Have you got heating in there?
No, it's lovely and warm. I've got three heaters in here. So it's warmer in here than it is in the house. So when I go in, I put a jumper on. But yes, I do have a lovely festive period, everybody.
Yes.
I hope that Santa Claus brings you everything that your heart desires and that we can all be vaccinated pretty soon and get back to normal life. And people who want to go to the pub and be ungrown.
Yeah, don't have to travel from the mainland to the Isle of Wight to do so. Yeah.
Well, who the hell wants to go to the island anyway?
Thank you, Ben. So, yes, will you... Just before you go, do you remember when Daphne Ashbrook was on the show many years ago? Were you on that episode?
With who?
Daphne Ashbrook. When we did the Doctor Who TV movie, and we had Daphne Ashbrook on as a guest. Did you do that episode?
No, I don't recall that, but I may have been there. It just means I don't recall it.
We wouldn't have got a word in edgeways if you had been. I'm just curious.
Speaking of her, I watched the Deep Space Nine episode Deep Space Nine episode that she was in the other day.
Oh, okay. Plenty of time on your hands there. Right then, so next week we'll be I'm tying up now. We can all say goodbye together. Well, next week we'll be reviewing once again the Doctor Who TV movie with Paul McGann, and that's next week. So
we'll be going through Night of the Doctor then as well.
No,
it's not time for that.
When he does his.
When we get to the 50th anniversary.
We are then.
Yes.
But that sort of leads into the new series, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's a flashback. It's a flashback, so we watch it in order. Anyway, so until next week, thank you for taking part, watching and providing us with a limited amount of feedback. Please continue to do so. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Scarecrow.
Before we go. hung around for the extra little bit. I think what we should do is we should all say, as Adam said there, we should all say goodbye at the same time through the wonders of modern technology after I've counted to three. So whenever you hear three, say goodbye.
Yeah, but you normally cock this up deliberately, Ben, to be fair.
Okay, so one, then. Two, three, bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
All together.
See what happens when you don't have any women on the show.
Bye.
That's the first time we haven't had any women on the show for a very, very long time indeed, and you can see why we have them on, to be fair. Right.
We keep on shouting boobies.
Right, I'm off. I'm off to get a bath and watch some telly. Goodbye.
Well, at the same time.
And I have to go to bed.
Yes, at the same time. Well, we could do. I could install a TV on the ceiling in the bathroom. That'd be good.
And I'm going to go and make a jam sandwich, so when I finish painting the house, we're painting tomorrow and at lunchtime.
Well, it's always been well known that you're quite jammy.
That's easy. Anyway, I'll see everyone later. Ta-ta now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazzi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.